guys, it's good to be here. It's great to be back in the southeast region of the London International Church of Christ. Maybe some of you are wondering, when was I here for the first time? Well, the first time I was here was in early October of 2010. And there was a lot of things different in my life than now. There's a lot of things different in the southeast than now. Lauren and I were coming over here to speak at the singles conference in Mid Wales at that time, and Lauren and I were dating at the time. We've now been married for a year and a half, and we're expecting our first child, so that's exciting. At that time, John and Esty were dating. At that time, Rob McKenzie, he had just recently gotten restored to the fellowship. Adwalk, he was working on his dental degree and taking some classes and some exams, and he's passed that one exam now. At that time, there was no brothers named Jacob or Temi that are now here. And so it's great to be back, for sure. At that time in October of 2010, Tokes and Bolo weren't here. I don't know where they were, but they weren't there, but they're here now. And we got to meet many of you that day. I think they were preaching at a different region, or I'm not sure, but they're here today. And it's just so good to be here. You know, the Southeast is really kind of where we're introduced to disciples, where we are introduced to the London Church, because that was the first meeting that we ever got with disciples. That time was here in the Southeast region, but there is a lot of good news going on in Central that I just wanted to share with you. We had a sister recently get baptized last month, so that was exciting. We had a family service last week where a region of a little more than 40, and we had 111 people at that family service, and so that was great. And so it's great to see the Central region is growing in their convictions, they're growing in their faith, they're growing in wanting to make disciples and help to spread the gospel throughout Central London and wherever they are. So it's great to be here, but we do love the Southeast region. We love the Southeast region. We feel very close to the Southeast region. Of course, we love the Central region much as well, but some reasons for being so close to the Southeast region is one, you know, when we did come to visit, when we came to visit, we came to the Southeast, and God really put the UK on Lauren and I's hearts. God put it on our hearts, and we just started with that visit, we just started really praying for the UK, just praying for God to do great things, for God to really move, and just to see God do powerful things in London and just throughout all of the UK. But it all started with all of you at that very first time when we all came together. And then that prayer became, you know, maybe we could come over and serve in the London church. Maybe there's some way we could just move over here and live in London one day and just serve and just serve God, serve disciples, serve London. And it wasn't to be on staff or anything like that, but it was just to come over. But here we are 2.5 years later, and it's great to be here. The Southeast introduced us to the whole body of Christ here in London and beyond. And so you guys hold a special place in Lauren and I's hearts, for sure. We love you guys a lot. To you, you guys are the region where dreams begin. And that's what you are to Lauren and I, and so it is great to be here. That time when we were here, we were introduced to Nando's as well. The singles took us to Nando's. And my wife talks about Nando's every day, ever since. She loves Nando's. But no, it is really, really good to be here. But we've been going, I know you started through the book of John. Central's going through the book of John as well. Last week you started with that. And you start with a great passage, one of the greatest passages in the Bible about Jesus. It's a passage that really gives us great clarity on who Jesus is, what Jesus is about, where Jesus has been, what Jesus has done, and how the world has actually dealt with Jesus. But John, the writer of the Gospel of John, he starts with this really power-packed punch, full of Jesus. It's Jesus, 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 from the get-go, from verse 1 all the way to where he ended in verse 18. And he really wants the reader of the Gospel of John to know that Jesus is the focus, that it's about Jesus. But how in the world do you sustain that focus of Jesus with that introduction? How can you keep it going with such an amazing intro to Jesus? Well, if we go ahead and turn to John 1, we'll continue in there in verse 19 and we'll read and find out just how we can keep our hearts and eyes on Jesus even once we've really been amazed by the truth about him. Because it is, you know, this is an amazing truth of Jesus, but how do we sustain, how do we keep this focus even once we've been shown the truth? So let's go ahead and pray and then we'll dive in. Heavenly Father, thanks for the chance to come to the Southeast, God, and be amongst people that love you so much and want to really praise your name, God, and live for you. Thank you for the Gospel of John, that we have this amazing introduction of Jesus, and that John continues to show us to focus on him, to look to him, that he is everything, that he is our all in all, that he is higher than I, that he is higher than all of us, God. Thank you so much that we get to be together today, even with the great weather outside, God. It's amazing to see so many people here, even though the challenges that might come with the weather. It is beautiful out there. And God, thank you that you give us more than we can ever hope or imagine, God. I pray for your word to be spoken today, that what you want spoken will be said, and that it will move our hearts in exactly the place where our hearts need to be moved, God. We love you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was just thinking about it too. The very first disciples I ever met from the UK were Mulligan and Joe. When they came to Virginia 4 or 5 years ago. First disciples I ever met from the UK. Where are they? The Southeast region. God wants Lauren and I to know all of you and serve and be with all of you. He's been saying that for a long time. And so here I am, and Lauren's been here. So it's really cool to be here. But in this passage, we see John the Baptist. He's questioned four times. He's questioned four times by the priests and Levites who he was. Okay, so that's where we're going to pick it up here, is where the priests and Levites come to question John. So starting in verse 19 of John 1. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." And then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me. The man of whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." And the title of my lesson is "What is your testimony?" You know, testimony, a lot of times we think, oh, testimony, that's the time when someone comes up on Sunday at church, comes up and they share how they became a Christian. That's what a testimony is. Well, here, John the Baptist is clearly not at a church service on a Sunday. He is clearly sharing his life and sharing what he is about. And really, when you think about testimony, that's what it is. It's sharing about Jesus each and every day of our lives. It's really pointing our lives to Jesus. But I'm really challenged by that, to think, man, is that my testimony? Or is it just someone coming up on a Sunday to speak about what Jesus has done in their lives? Are we speaking each and every day about what Jesus has done in our lives? So my first point is, who are you? Who are you? And it's amazing to see, here come these priests and Levites. They come from Jerusalem, they come to another town, right? They come out past the Jordan to see John the Baptist. and to see what is going on here, what's happening. So obviously John the Baptist is making some noise. The people from Jerusalem are coming out to see what's happening. And he's making an impact. He's getting people's attention. He is having an effect if people all the way from somewhere else are coming. So my first point being, who are you? When you're asked who you are by complete strangers, you could have a field day with that question, couldn't you? You could go anywhere and everywhere with that question. You could come up with any answer you want. You might be questioned with your answer, but you could stretch a little bit. You could overindulge a little bit. You could stretch the truth. You could twist the truth. You might not even share the truth. You could really go however way you wanted. You could paint a picture that they would be like, wow, look at this person. This person is really impressive. So how would you respond if someone asked you who you are? Now for me, ever since moving here, I would love to respond with the answer, well, I'm the Duke of Cambridge. I'm Prince William. I would love to respond that way. And believe it or not, I do get that from time to time. I get people looking at me, kind of just staring right at me going, what is going on here? And then I get some second takes like, whoa, who is that guy? And I've asked some people that know me, no one's actually said a stranger, hey, you look like Prince William. But people that know me have said that a time or two, not just here, but also in the States before we moved here, that, hey, you look a lot like Prince William. But I haven't gone that way. I haven't responded with, hey, guess who I am. I haven't done that. But it would be fun to say it and see what happens. So anyways, though, but when John the Baptist was confronted about who he was, he confessed the truth. And I love how verse 20, it says he did not fail to confess, but he confessed freely. I love that it says that. He could have thought more highly of himself and confessed falsely, saying, yeah, I'm Elijah, or yeah, I'm the prophet, or yeah, I am the Christ. But John the Baptist knew who he was. He knew what his mission was. He wasn't going to let this opportunity down. He wasn't going to say something beyond who he was. So who are you? When you're asked who you are, you give an answer about who you are. But what does John the Baptist do? Is he responds with, I'm not the Christ. I'm sorry, John, but I asked who you are. Oh, I didn't ask who you are not. But when was the last time you answered a question like that? When was the last time you answered the question with kind of an answer that they weren't actually looking for? Hey, what are you eating over there? Oh, I'm not eating. I'm sorry. I didn't ask. I asked what you're eating. No, I'm not eating. Okay. Hey, who told you that story? Oh, it wasn't Billy. No. Okay. I appreciate it wasn't Billy, but who told you that story? Who responds that way? Who responds with a question like that? But here, John the Baptist, who are you? I'm not the Christ. Do you even think to answer questions like that? No, we don't think to answer questions like that because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to answer a question like that. It's way easier for us to say who we are than who we're not, isn't it? We like to say, hey, this is who I am. This is what I do. Here's my family, and this is what I'm about, and this is what's going on, and yeah, look at what I've done, and look at my little kingdom and castle, and this is who I am. That's what we like to do. But the amazing thing about John the Baptist here is he isn't asked what he's eating, or here he's not told, hey, who gave you some information. He's asked, who are you? And here's his big chance to finally get recognized. Here's his big chance to finally get some sort of reward or just maybe, hey, you know what? John, why don't you come into Jerusalem? You're way out in the wilderness. You're having an effect out here, but why don't you come to the big time? Why don't you come to the big city and have a great impact there? But John the Baptist, he doesn't do that at all. He confesses and he denies all the claims that could have given him prestige, where people could have taken notice. Where people would have taken notice if he said, yeah, I am a prophet. Yeah, I am this, I am that. But John was getting recognized by the important people here too. When you're getting recognized by people in the world that are of importance, are you gonna talk about Jesus? Are you gonna say, something about Jesus? Or are you going to be like, yeah, I did that project that was really hard to do. I led that team of 10 people to finish that project, and our profits went up 50%. You know, is that how you're going to respond when the important people come to your life? When they actually take notice of you? Where people take notice, are you going to bring it to Jesus? Or are you going to make it about you? You know, John, he was getting recognized, but he did not give in to the ways of the world and his reputation. He stood firm in the reputation that God had for him. Yeah, there was a time, there was a brother in Virginia, he got recognized. He lost a lot of weight by doing this program, and he was training for a marathon, and trained, and lost, I mean, he lost over 100 pounds. He lost a lot of weight, and he was in the best shape of his life, and he got recognized for it, and he was actually on... He was recognized so much that New York City, the Today Show, it's a big morning show in the States. It's on every single morning on NBC. And he got, I don't know how it happened, but he was sent to be interviewed on the Today Show, to be interviewed for this great kind of change in his life. And he was interviewed on national television. You know, many of us are watching the interview and, yeah, come on, bro. Yeah, this is awesome. But he regrets that interview because he never brought up Jesus. He never once said the name of Jesus or Jesus has given me the strength or the motivation. Never once. But he had the chance in front of a national audience to just let people think about Jesus, even if it's just for a moment, just to think there's something greater out there, that there's something that really moves people's hearts, that Jesus can really change people's lives. And you know what? God does have a reputation for us. 1 Corinthians 4:1, it says, so then men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Amen. Do your neighbors, your co-workers, your friends, your family members, do they regard you as servants of Christ? Do you speak that way? I do this because I serve Christ. I do this because I love Christ and I want to serve Him. The Bible says that men ought to regard us as servants of Christ. 1 Peter 2:12, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. Live such good lives that the pagans will glorify God. That is the reputation that God has for us. That is who we are. That is what the Bible says. Calls us to be. And that is an amazing, amazing call. That is what John is doing here, though, isn't it? He doesn't want the attention. He doesn't want them praising his name or speaking highly of him. He wants them to praise Jesus. In fact, it takes four times for the ask who you are before he finally says one little thing about himself. And it's just one little verse. It's one sentence that he says about himself. You know, verse 30, it says, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. This is a man focused on the reputation that God has given. This is a man focused on who he is. This is a man not unstable, not shaken, but this is about Jesus. So God has a reputation for us, but do we choose to accept it? And do we choose to share it? The passage in John we've read today is a testimony of John the Baptist. And, you know, I started with this idea of a testimony. And a testimony, I looked up the definition. It's a public recounting of what God has done in our lives. So how is your testimony? How is your day-to-day testimony? It should be building. It should be changing. It should be growing. It should be having an impact on those around you. It's not just when we have a testimony at church. God has given us everything we need. And because of that, we should be sharing what He's given us, all those things that He's given us. 2 Peter 1:3, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. That is an amazing, incredible thing to think about, that, wow, God has given us everything we need. Are we sharing the things that God has given us? Are we sharing? Are we talking about Jesus? This is who we are. This is our reputation that God has given us. But are we trying to mold our reputation into this life that we have called? To kind of finish off this point, John the Baptist might not focus on who he was, but because he didn't focus on who he was, we all know who he was, don't we? If he would have said something else different here, I don't think we'd be talking about John the Baptist today. If he would have said, yeah, I am doing this. Yeah, all these people are coming out to me, and I live on the other side of the Jordan, and people are coming out. They're making the trek because I am important and I am somebody. We wouldn't be talking about John the Baptist today. But because he focused on who he was not, because he focused on Jesus, here we are talking about him. And not just us, but the rest of mankind. For the rest of history, people will talk about John the Baptist. And that's an amazing thing to think about. We don't like that. That we think if we're going to leave a mark, we don't think like that. If we're going to leave a mark, we've got to talk about the things we've done. We've got to talk about us. We've got to talk about the things we do and the things we've accomplished. To leave an impact on this world, we need to self-promote. But that's the way that the world looks at things. But if we look at this here, why do we look up to John the Baptist? It's because he didn't do that. He didn't do that at all. If we really want to make an impact on the world, we need to promote Jesus. If we really want to leave a mark, we've got to promote Jesus. So that was my first point, is who you are. My second point is are you willing? And I only have 2 points today. So are you willing is my second point. And in this chapter, it's clear that God has a plan. His plan is for Jesus to be known to all the world, and the way he's going to fill this plan, and this is amazing, the way he's going to fulfill this plan is a way that none would ever expect, that none at all would expect. It's actually a radical way. It's a way that can blow our minds. It's a way that really, this is the way you want to fulfill your plan, God? And God, the perfect creator, omniscient, sovereign, divine, all-powerful, without blemish, perfect, holy and righteous, chooses us to fulfill that plan. Us, depraved, corrupt, wicked, sinful, falling short of the glory of God. Wicked, impure, futile thinking, hardened hearts. This is what the Bible says about the ways of the world. But he uses us to fulfill his plan. Doesn't make sense, does it? I would like to think, I kind of paint this picture of God being at like a kind of a meeting or something like that with all other supernatural beings, right? Now, there are no other supernatural beings, but just imagine if here's God at this meeting going, hey, how are you going to get this project done, God? How are you going to get your plan done? Oh, yeah, I'm going to use, see all those human beings down there? I'm going to use them to get this plan done. Ha! You think you're going to use them, really? How? They don't even understand you. They're totally, they don't get you at all. They're completely 180% different than you. But he's like, no, I'm going to use them, and it's going to happen, and it's going to be done. But we have to be willing. Are you willing? This is God's plan, and John the Baptist takes God's plan, and he runs with it. And he runs with it, and he doesn't look back, and he doesn't think about anything else. He doesn't look back. If being a messenger for Jesus was an Olympic sport, John the Baptist, he would win the gold. He'd be on the podium. I don't know what nation flag would come down. It'd be the nation of God flag coming down. That's the nation that would come down. Because John the Baptist was focused on God's plan. Not his own plan. Not his own way. Not his own will. Not even his own reputation. He was focused on the reputation that God had for him. You know, verse 26, it says, I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not recognize, who is coming after me. I'm not worthy to untie the strap of his sandals. Verse 29, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You know, he says that twice. He says this idea of, look, the Lamb of God. John the Baptist is focused. Verse 30, he says, after he comes a man who's greater than I, because he existed before me. Verse 31, I don't recognize him, but I came baptizing with water so that he could be revealed to Israel. The work that John the Baptist is doing it, why is he doing it? So that Jesus can be revealed. Is that what our work is? Is that what our time is consumed with? To let Jesus be revealed in our towns, in the Southeast, in our lives, in our neighborhoods. God's plan is for Jesus to be the greatest, for Jesus to be recognized, for it to be all about Jesus, and for us to say, hey, don't look at me, don't look at me at all, but look at Jesus. He's far greater. He's amazing. He's given me everything that I could ever possibly need. Actually, you know what? He's given me so much, I don't even realize how much he's given me. That's how much he's given me. I wish I knew how much it was, but I can't even comprehend. You know, John is willing to hear God and not question, but accept God's plan and to share it with others. I love verse 33 here because he says, I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man in whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So here's John the Baptist's testimony. He's talking about, oh yeah, the one who sent me, and he told me. I mean, do we talk like that? I think if we were to talk like that, yeah, hey, why are you saying the things you say at work? Why are you talking about Jesus so much? Because God told me. I think we'd be scared. We'd get laughed at. God told you. You heard it. You heard his voice. He actually speaks to you. You have a face-to-face interaction with him. I think we'd be scared to say, yeah, God did tell me. And you know what? God has told us. He's told us from his scriptures. That's how God talks to us. That's how he tells us. But I think we would be scared to say that. It's even I think about, man, am I going to say, yeah, why did you come to England? Why are you here? God told me to come. God wanted me to come. I'm here because God made it clear that I'm to be here. Is that what I say? Do I say that? I like to think I say that. I think I've said that a time or two, or probably more than a time or two, but I think probably sometimes I don't. And you know what? This is the time where it's ripe, because I just have gotten here. So lots of people are going to ask me, why am I here? I've got to say, because God made it clear, because God made it obvious. Not, oh, because, hey, my wife and I really wanted to come and be here, and yeah, it's a foreign country, and it's an adventure, and yeah, it's something new and fresh. No, God made it clear. God made it obvious, and I could tell you 10, 12, 15, 20 different stories how God made it obvious. Amen. Why we should be here. Amen. That is what I need to share. Amen. So here's John saying, yeah, you know, the one who sent me, the one who told me, what do you think would have happened if someone would have said, who sent you and who told you? What would someone have said? I mean, would people have questioned him? I'm sure people were like, what do you mean who sent you? What do you mean who told you? I think the same for us. People would say, who sent you? Who told you? What are you talking about? And man, what a great opportunity to say, well, hey, why don't we study the Bible? Why don't I share what I'm talking about? It's depth, it's detail, it's a lot, can I share some scriptures with you? Go for it. But man, that'll open the door. But are you willing? You know, I look back and I think John, if someone would have asked John the Baptist that, John would have said, you know, who sent me? Well, the Father sent me. He would have said, God told me. God is the one that sent me to do this. God is the one that told me these things. John wasn't about holding the truth back. John the Baptist was very in touch with God's plan, and he was willing to fulfill God's plan through him. I think about this, and like I said, I'm challenged. We should all be challenged by John's heart. Do we go around saying, hey, yeah, God told me this. God sent me here. You know, all of your workplaces, all your neighborhoods, all the streets you live on, God sent you there. Acts 17, he put you in your boundaries and places so that you might seek him, but also to help others seek him as well. But the fact is that John the Baptist says, the fact is that God has sent us here. He has brought us to London, and God has told us a lot of things. But if we're kind of out of touch with what God has told us, we're probably not reading our Bibles enough. We're probably not talking about God enough. We're probably not thinking about God enough. So if you don't think God is telling you things, read your Bible. He's telling you things. Take time and stop what you're doing and listen. You'll hear the Spirit telling you what to do. I've really been in touch with that a lot lately. When I'm in Bible studies, I'm studying the Bible with someone, and I'm just listening to what they're saying. But I'm also, okay, where can I go next? Let me not get caught up in my method, but let me get caught up in where's the Spirit going to take me next. Now, I was at a restaurant with Jeremiah Brown last week. We were watching the Man U Liverpool game. I'm a big Liverpool fan. Come on. You'll never walk alone. I mean, that's a spiritual theme. Isn't that a spiritual theme? You'll never walk alone. I mean, come on. Come on. Tokes is telling me to stick to the Bible, so amen. But they did win 5-0 yesterday. I'm done. But Jeremiah and I are watching the game. And there was the guy interacting with us and talking to us. And we paid and we started walking and leaving. And all of a sudden, my back leg, like, whoa, go this way. And I was thinking, I mean, I'm exaggerating here. But all of a sudden, I just stopped. And I was like, wait, Jeremiah, I got to go share with that guy. I got to go back and I got to go share. But it was kind of on my heart as I was walking away. I was like, I got to share with him. I got to go back. I got to turn around. And then I was like, wait, yeah, Jesus. This is about Jesus. Let me turn around. Let me go talk to him. But are you in touch with the Spirit? Are you in touch with the Spirit telling you to do these things, putting these things on your heart and doing them? You know, what is God telling you to do that you simply aren't willing to do? That you're struggling to do, that you're resisting to do, that you're having a hard time accepting? Really, I've got to do this? You know, I could tell you another story. Yeah, last week with Jeremiah, that was a success. But I could also tell you about the story with my grandpa. My grandpa just got out of the hospital yesterday. He's been in and out of the hospital over the last 6 weeks. Over the last year, he's been in and out of the hospital. It's been a challenging year plus for my grandpa. I'm talking to him the other night. He had his cell phone, and so he was in the hospital still, but I gave him a ring. And him and I are really, really close, and so it's hard to, it's a tough time. He's really weak. I've never seen him in this state. And I really wanted to bring God into our conversation. I really wanted to say, hey, let's pray. But I didn't do that. I didn't say, let's pray. I didn't let God in. Yeah, sure, I prayed before the phone call. I really wanted my grandpa to be thinking about God, to be talking to God. I'm going to talk to him today. I'm going to ask him, hey, let's pray. Amen. But the Spirit put that on my heart, but I resisted. And I regretted it. I got off the phone and I told Lauren, I was like, I didn't get him to think about God. You know, but are you willing to let God's plan shine through in your life? How might you let God's plan shine through in your life? We can see God's plan in our lives and the lives of those around us move and grow by simply opening our mouths. John the Baptist, he opens his mouth here in this passage, and he continues to open his mouth after this passage, which you'll learn about, which I'm sure you've read. He continues to open his mouth, and because he continues to open his mouth, we see his disciples, John the Baptist's disciples, become disciples of Jesus. By speaking up, by saying things, they aren't always easy to say, but it keeps us on our toes. It keeps us from getting complacent. It keeps us seeing that Jesus is our Lord, that he is the focus of our lives. But it's because we've spoken. It's because we've said something. Or, you know, maybe it's a person in your family group that's really showing great signs of repentance. They're really changing. They're really growing. They're really growing in their faith. They're doing things they've never done before for God. But how is that happening? Someone's spoken to them. Whether it's the scriptures, whether someone's bringing something up, someone has probably discipled them and is helping them through the scriptures to repent, to change, to do something different, to have an impact in the world for Jesus. You know, it doesn't just happen. We get to see God's plan when we speak up, when we say something. If we're willing, we'll see some amazing things because we're doing things God's way. We need to be looking for God's way in everything we do. So, in conclusion, who are you? Does man see that you are a servant of God? When you have a chance to share your life, are you coming out more with Jesus or more about you? You know, we leave a legacy by talking about Jesus, not talking about ourselves. We need to be brothers and sisters that testify about the Lamb of God. It should be embedded in us. It should be our hearts. It should be on our lips. Because we are what we are because of Jesus. Because He has given us everything we need. You know, we need to be willing to accept this. We need to be willing to live out God's plan, to put it into practice and take God and speak up and take God's will everywhere we go. Speak up with one another in love. Speak up with one another so that God's power can be present in our lives. When we accept God's plan, we are willing. We're willing to do things we never, ever imagined, because His plan is so much greater. We're willing to live out His plan in our lives. You know, then the power of God will be manifested. The power of God is present in Southeast London. It is here. It is moving. It moved the heart of Lauren and I 2.5 years ago because of the Southeast. It's changed our lives. The power is present. Jacob and Temi are in here. They weren't here a couple months ago. But the power is present. God's plan is present. But in order to see God's plan and power even more, we have to know, and we have to know who we are, and we have to be willing. So thank you so much for letting me share. It's great to be down in the Southeast region. And I just, it's great to see you all. And I just want to give all the glory to God and bless you all. And thank you so much for letting me be here today.
All right. Do want to thank Brian so much for his message. Just about John the Baptist. Actually, challenged by John the Baptist to really talk about himself. I know sometimes I do ask a question. The question I thought of is I share my